Welcome back to Tuesday Talks. Here is the second part of our Two for Tuesday talk with Mickey Johnston. We had this long conversation about stress and anxiety, and now as you continue on, we want to move forward. And in this segment, we're discussing parenting resilience. I hope it is so useful to you. Enjoy. So I really want to get to one of my all-time favorite words as a counselor. And the title of today's thing is Parenting Resilience.
Yes.
But we wanted to talk with you first about this stress and anxiety puzzle. Mm-hmm. Because I think so often, like you said, one out of three kids are struggling with this. So this is so often what is happening in our kids. And we want to get them, help them, we can't fix them, but help them move to a new direction. And so I have this little thing I use all the time with kids, and I'll put a rubber band on the table and I'll say, this rubber band is just laying on the table. This is you when you are not stressed, not anxious, you're feeling fine. There's the rubber band. And then I'll pick it up and I'll stretch it. This is you when the stressful events are coming, when the perceived fears are there and you're stretched out of shape. And then I'll take that rubber band and sometimes I'll let it bing across the room. And I said, that's one way to get back to not being stretched out of shape. You explode all over the place, you know, and have a big blow up. And, you know, you feel better maybe after you've blown up, but everybody's afraid of you or afraid to talk. But how can we get, with this student that I'm talking to, how can we get physically mm-hmm. from the stretched out of shape place back to this happy little rubber band laying on the table all nice and, you know, managing things, you know, how do we get there? So to me, that is like the picture of resilience, not eliminating the stressful stuff, but learning how to like process the stressful stuff or break it down into a manageable chunk mm-hmm. and feel like you have it, well, maybe not under control, but you at least have kind of a plan for how you're going to move through mm-hmm. stressful things. Because for the rest of your life, there's going to be stressful stuff. It's just the way it is. And I know that this word resilience, it speaks to you too. It's a big topic for you. And so this illustration is for kids, my little rubber band thing. But what sort of tools do you have for parents who are working to build resilience in their kids?
I love the rubber band.
Yeah.
Rubber bands and beach balls. This is our theme today.
They are the tools of the trade.
They are, and I love it. So your definition is really spot on. It's not about eliminating the difficulties, because the difficulties are inevitable, regardless of your age. And they do change, and they get more intense as we get older, but they're always there. There's mm-hmm. always going to be a difficulty or a disappointment, okay? So it's how we learn to think about these experiences, okay, and learn from them that creates this opportunity for them to kind of bounce back or go back to the unstretched rubber band, okay, or bounce back like the beach ball, you know, to be able to bounce back, to look back at what happened so we can figure out what we might want to do differently next time and what we could have done differently this time. Okay. I like to think about resilience from a mindset and a strength-based perspective. It's an opportunity for growth. We have to go through the muck to come out on mm-hmm. the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to rain for the flowers to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's not like some fluffy, oh, we just, everything's gonna be fine, you know? Mm-hmm. No, you know, sometimes it doesn't just rain, but we have a hurricane and it's in our emotional life.
Yeah.
And it's how we rebuild. You know, so fostering resilience in our children is one of the greatest gifts and one of the greatest tools that we can give them. And as parents, again, we don't want to fix or prevent or protect, mm-hmm. but we want to help them figure out how do we learn from it. Mm-hmm. So when we do this work, when we try and fix it for them or take away the difficulties or pave the road, you know, there's this new, not new, but people are talking about like the lawnmower parent, not just the helicopter parent, where they're like always paving the road, you know. And I always say, it's not about paving the road for our children, but learning to teach them how to walk the road. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a takeoff on Madeline Levine when she talks about the road. Mm-hmm. So this in itself builds one of what I call the seven C's of resilience, which comes from Kenneth Ginsberg's work, Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg. He talks about the seven C's of resilience, and C is not like the body of water, but it's a capital C.
Okay.
It's a capital C. And two things that are really important when we're learning about these opportunities or learning from these mistakes or disappointments is building confidence and competence.
Okay.
When we let our children tackle something or feel like, I got this. So my daughter, when she was really young, she used to say, Mama, I can do it. I can do it. She would just say it over and over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think she's trying to tell me to stop, you know?
Yeah.
And she was, you know? Yeah. She's like, let me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do as parents to build resilience. We have to let them. We have to let them fall down and scrape the knee. They have to get broken up with. They have to fail exams. You know, they have to go through fights with their friends and all of these things. Because on the other end, they're going to feel more confident about their ability to handle it the next time it comes. So some of the other seven C's are, aside from competence and confidence, is control. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Teaching them what they can and can't control really builds this resilience where they feel like they've mastery over the world. Like they can go, okay, well, I know that I've got this and that I don't have this because I can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Character, learning to balance moral character, kindness, empathy, compassion, diligence, you know. So it's performance character balanced with moral character. That really helps to build resilience in kids. It's not just about performing, you know. It's not just about getting great grades and making the A team for sports and being the most popular kid in school. Like, these are not the things that are going to matter in the long run in terms of how you feel about the ability to get the rubber band back. It's like, how do I deal with people?
Overcome adversity.
And overcome the adversity. How do I have conversations with people? How do I face something instead of run from it? How do I learn to have difficult conversations? That's a big resilience builder. And as anxious kids, we want to run from the difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to teach them how to have that so they can be more resilient. All their coping tools, teaching them, you know, it's not about avoidance. It's about learning to face it head on and how to do that in a way that's assertive and not bullying or aggressive. We do that through teaching communication skills and things like that. And then also about contribution. You know, kids who give back feel really good about themselves and feel like, especially if you have a child that's working in a homeless facility or doing some work with hunger. When they leave, they usually feel more grateful. Mm-hmm. So it fosters that gratefulness. It feels like, wow, those people were able to ask for help. Maybe I can ask for help when I'm in trouble. And that really builds this resilience where it's like, I feel like I can handle what comes my way, even when it's a hurricane.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to say that one of the most important C's of the seven C's that Kenneth Ginsberg talks about is connection. All the studies out of Harvard and Stanford and long-term longitudinal studies say we only need one reliable, safe adult in our life to make us truly resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And people are shocked by that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a parent. It could be that one teacher. You know how people always say, tell us about your favorite teacher when you were younger and you remember. You're like, ooh, I know who that person was.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a preacher. It could be a rabbi. It could be a school counselor, if I haven't already said that.
Yeah.
Very important. It could be a nurse. It could be a doctor. It could be a neighbor, uncle, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that one consistent, reliable, trustworthy, and safe adult that you feel that you have throughout your life. That is regardless of your socioeconomics, regardless of gender, regardless of religion, regardless of your political affiliation, one reliable adult, one safe adult.
So as a parent, how are you doing that? There's so many ways you can be involved in church. You can have them in sports teams. They already have their teachers. So as a parent, it may be you for your child, it may not. And that's okay.
It is okay. And we have to let our kids know that we're okay if we're not the one at the time.
Yeah. Because you may be the one. There's seasons of life. It may be later on you are the one. But in this season, they needed that coach or they needed that other person.
That's an amazing point to bring up because I think parents get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
I was not my daughter's when she was in middle school, but I am now and she's 29.
I love that. That's right though, Deborah. It's like, it's about finding your person.
Yeah.
And that can change.
It can change.
It can change. And how wonderful for a child to have more than one adult person.
Yeah. If they even have more.
That's
amazing. They just need at least one.
They need at least one. And parents need to kind of, check themselves and be
and
able to
surround yourself with potentials.
Yes.
Yeah. And potential adults that can be.
It's absolutely true. And, I was going to say earlier also, and this kind of touches on it really well, is that when we're frustrated, when we're anxious, when we feel rejected as parents, our response, we want to make sure that we are finding time. If we're going to be that adult, how can we become that adult? Turn off your phone. Close your laptop. Spend quality time with your child or your children. Model connection by the way you talk to others and the way you listen and respond to crisis and problems. And when they're in crisis or when they are having one of those really difficult times, take the time to sit with them and listen more than you speak.
Listen more than you speak.
Yeah. You become that one adult if you can, offer that to your children. We don't want them to hear you saying things like, just relax or stop it or pull yourself up by your bootstraps or because then they're not going to come to you. You're not going to be the person,
Just a few years ago, it was pretty much off limits to talk about mental health. But I feel like now it's much more accepted to say, I'm going to get counseling for individuals, our kids or as a family. And so mental health resources for parents and children that you might share here?
Absolutely. So I've been a big part of, really honored actually to be a big part of the movement to erase the stigma of mental health for, gosh, I'd say longer than I've been doing what I do.
Okay.
So, I've sit on a, you can look at my website for more information about what I do, but I've been sitting on a mental health, Child and Family Guidance Center's mental health board for over 15 years, and I do a lot of volunteer work in the community. I think that finding a therapist can be one of the best resources for your child.
Yeah.
And not all therapists are created equal, so find somebody who specializes in the issues that your child or you are needing to work on. Find somebody who's financially accessible, who lives near to you or your work
or
school.
Sure, so it's not an hour's drive.
Right, like we want to make it accessible, right? We want to make sure it fits with their schedules and we want to make it a priority. You know, it's like, oh, they're so busy with after school sports and homework and this and that. And we don't have time. We have to make time for the mental health because without mental health, we can't have the other things. We can't have healthy, well-adjusted children who are able to become more resilient, who are able to bounce back and who are able to manage their stress. So another great resource is there's always a plethora of good books on parenting. You can check my website. I have a whole resource page.
And we're going to post her website on the show notes so that you can get to that. Mickey Johnston.
And yeah, and it's Mickey Johnston Therapy. So Mickey, M like mouse, but it's spelled M-I-K-I.
And we school counselors have resources that we also
absolutely give up. And I was going to say, you would always want to go to your school counselor as a great first step. Mm-hmm. They are great resources, even a school nurse.
Yes.
There are some wonderful online resources, depending on the issue you're wanting to look at. There's a lot of blogs. There's a lot of mental health organizations sure. that have information. Mentalhealth.gov, you know, National Alliance on Mental Health. But your school counselor is a great place to start. Your yeah. school nurse is a great place to start. And even the internet, you know, just kind of reading, you know, some of the really great parenting experts, social, yeah. emotional learning experts, and anxiety experts. And I think that you really can get the information that yeah. you and your children
and, need. And what we're really saying too is that you're starting with conversation, right? You and your child are having conversation. That's the start. And then from there, we would love to partner with you and help you with resources and places to go beyond that conversation.
Relationship is the number one place to start. Yeah. When we can have a relationship with a child, we can help them.
You bet. So I feel like this is so much to unpack and digest in just one session. Thank goodness that you can listen to a podcast over and over if you need to, because this was a lot. And parents, I hope you will do that. I hope that you will listen more than once. If you're really struggling in this area, then, you know, work on that. I have this motto that I say to kids constantly. And I tell them, you will never accidentally become a better person.
Oh, that's right. Wonderful.
And so as a parent, we're never going to accidentally solve anything. We're never going to accidentally be, you know, manage anxiety, any of it. It's an intentional practice. And so, you know, one listen may not give you all you need to apply these tools that we've discussed today. And so we need to have this intentional work at changing old habits into new ones and work to build resilience in our kids. Mickey, I just can't thank you enough for your time and for your insight. 30 years of experience came in very handy today. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. And intention is what it's all about. We have to have repetition.
Yes.
In order for us to master these yeah. tools.
Not a one and done.
It's not a one and done. Nope. And so start that conversation with somebody. Don't be ashamed of what you're mm-hmm. feeling as a parent or a child. Come forward and say, I need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And then your school counselor or a therapist like myself can offer you more tools, you know, how sure. to manage the anxiety. I would love for anybody who wants to follow me on my social media platforms,
yes.
Facebook
yes,
or Instagram. It's always Mickey Johnston Therapy yes, across
I,
the
be,
board.
I friended you a couple of weeks ago.
I think, you too. And now I'm following Tuesday Talks. So thank there you so much for yeah. having me.
Yeah.
Thank
Parents,
you.
We're working on bringing Mickey back for a PTA meeting this spring so you could hear from her in person and have time to ask questions. So watch your weekly campus newsletter. Don't be scrolling and passing. When we get to this part about Tuesday Talks, listen up. And when you read about the PTA meeting, because we do hope that that we can have her in the spring. She's also available to work with you and your family and your child. And we've got those contact information that I said will be in our show notes. I just thank you so much. I hope you parents will be contacting her. Your family and your mental health, it's worth it. Thank you, our audience, for joining us on Tuesday Talks. We hope that this information is valuable and that it dynamically impacts your family. Oh, and big news for this year, 2021, 2022, we are going to start doing these in both English and Spanish. So watch for that in your campus newsletter when you see the Tuesday Talks posted. Martes. Lichella, something else. Anyway, for Little Elm ISD and the School Counseling Department, this is Deborah Deverich, and we will see you next time.